Good afternoon, everyone. So today being Erev Tisha B'Av, I thought that we would discuss a topic that overlaps both Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av itself, and that is the topic of Aninus on Tisha B'Av. We know that usually we associate Tisha B'Av with Avelos. Tisha B'Av is dubbed Avelos Yeshana in the Gemara Nevamos on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, but Avelos, of course, is preceded by the period of Aninus. And in truth, there's a lot of evidence that the concept of Aninus applies to Tisha B'Av in addition to the concept of Avelos. Now, by the term Aninus, we should just clarify that we don't refer to the De'oraisa prohibition to eat Kodshim and Maiser Sheni lo'akalti va'oni mimenu on the day of the death of a relative, but rather we refer to the concept of Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. Usually in Hilchos Avelos, those two are kind of merged together. We call someone who's Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav in Onin, even though really we're referring to Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. So too, in our discussion, we're referring to Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, and that status is something that triggers a number of consequences, including an exemption from mitzvos, and also a prohibition to eat basar v'yayin, amongst others. So I'd like to focus on the following three issues. The first one is what the manifestations of Aninus on Tisha B'Av really are. So we're going to go through a number of different manifestations of Aninus on Tisha B'Av. The second question is the duration of Aninus on Tisha B'Av. For how long does it last? And the third one is the significance of Aninus on Tisha B'Av. I'd like to get to the bottom of what exactly of the role of Aninus on Tisha B'Av means for us and our experience of Tisha B'Av on the whole. So let's begin with a number of manifestations of Aninus on Tisha B'Av, and we're actually going to start from Aninus on Erev Tisha B'Av, which centers on the halacha of the Suda Hamafsekes. So the background here is the Mishnah and Tainis and Av Chavav Amid Beis, which records that on Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, lo yochal basar, velo yeshte yayin. One is not supposed to have two cooked foods, and he's not supposed to eat meat or drink wine during the Suda Hamafsekas. And the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tavkuf Nun Beis Sev Zayin records as well that we sit on the ground during the Suda Hamafsekas, which of course we know from our contemporary practice. So what is the basis for sitting on the ground during the Suda Hamafsekas? So this was a discussion. We'll go in order of conceptual options here, not necessarily in chronological order. So I saw in the Shiurei Harav, in the Rav Shiurei Manavelos, that the Rav suggested one possibility, that the requirement to sit on the ground during the Suda Hamafsekas is part of the Kiyum Be'Avelos, that the Suda Hamafsekas is a Kiyum Be'Avelos. And this is actually based on a line from the Yerushalmi in Tainis Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, where Rav had the practice to say Zo Suudas Tisha B'Av when he would dip his bread in ashes during the Suudas Hamafsekas. And the implication is that the Suudas Hamafsekas basically takes the place, it substitutes for what would have been the Suda of Avelos on Tisha B'Av. We would have had a Sudas Avelos, something akin to a Sudas Havra'ah, which is the Suda that Avelim have at the beginning of their Avelos. We would have had that on Tisha B'Av, were it not for the fact that eating and drinking is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. So instead, we have the Suda right before Tisha B'Av, during the Sudas Hamafsekas, and that's what Rav would say, Zo Su'udas Tisha B'Av. And if this is the case, then the Sudas Hamafsekas is really a Kiyum Be'Avelos. And then sitting on the ground during the Suudas Hamafsekas would probably also be a function of that Avelos, similar to the requirement of Yeshiva al Gabi Karka for Avelim during Shiva. However, in the Trumas Hadeshen, in Tzimin Kuf Nun Aleph, there are two other possibilities for why we sit on the ground during the Suudas Hamafsekas. And there, the Trumas Hadeshen says that it has nothing to do with Avelos. It's not mitam Avelos, because the Avelos really begins only from when Tisha B'Av arrives. And during the Suudas Hamafsekas, Tisha B'Av has yet to arrive. So why would it be that we would sit on the ground during the Suudas Hamafsekas if it's not a manifestation of the Avelos of Tisha B'Av? So one possibility, says the Trumas Hadeshen, is that we're supposed to make the Suudas Hamafsekas into a Suda Aniya Ushvela. We're supposed to make the Suda into one that's of sorrow, one that's downtrodden. And in order to inject that character into the Suudas Hamafsekas, we sit on the floor during it. Nowadays we don't lean during a general suda. So by refraining from leaning, that's not going to actually mark the suda as a suda saniya ushvela. We need to do something in addition to just not leaning. So that thing that we do is sitting on the ground. That's the first possibility in the Trumas Hadashim. The second possibility, and this gets us to our topic, is the Trumas Hadashim suggests that the Suda Samafsekas is actually really like a Suda of Aninus. The evidence for this is the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Lamed Amid Beis, which says that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi would eat dry bread with salt and sit between the Tanur Vikirayim, between the oven and the stove in his house. In a very kind of downtrodden type of position, and the Gemara there describes that he would be dome kimisha meso muta lefanav. He would be akin to someone who is meso muta lefanav, whose family member who just passed away is before him and yet to be buried. So from this, the Trumas Hadashim says that you see that the Sudas Hamafsekes that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi had was connected to the status of Misha Meso Muta Lafanov. And therefore, says the Trumas Hadashim, that as part of Misha Meso Muta Lafanov, we know that one of the halachos, says the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches, says that one of the halachos of Misha Meso Muta Lafanov is that such a person is not Mesev Ochel. He doesn't lean while he eats. So therefore, one would have to eat in an alternative position, in a different position from the way he would normally eat. And nowadays, when we don't lean, as we said before, the way to have that alternative position is to eat on the ground, by sitting on the ground. So says the Trumas Hadashim, that as a kiyum, as a fulfillment of the idea of a sudas aninos, we eat on the ground. And also, the Bir Hagra explains, and this is also in the Trumas Hadashim, that this is why there would be a prohibition to eat meat and drink wine during the Suda Samafsekes, as the Mishnah says. Because we know from the Gemara and Brachos as well, that in Onin, a Misha Miso Muta Lafanov, someone who is obligated to bury his relative is yet to be buried, is also prohibited to eat meat and drink wine. So too, during this Sudas Aninus, there would be such a prohibition. The Rav asks an interesting question also in the Shiurei Arav, and he asks, why is it that there is no zimun for the Suda Samafsekas, even though we know that Avelim do participate in a zimun during the Suda Savra? During the Suda Samafsekas, there is no zimun. And even if everyone is supposed to eat individually, separately, but even if three people eat together, there's still no zimun. So why is that the case? So if we accept the reasoning of the Trumas Hadashim, that the Suda Samafsekes is not mitam avelus, but rather it's either a Sudas Ania, Ushvela, or it's a Sudas Aninus, so then there's really no question to begin with, because we have no comparison to the Sudas Havra of Avelim. After all, the Sudas Samafsekes has nothing to do with Avelus. It has to do with Anius, Ushiflus, or with Aninus. And if that's the case, then perhaps part of the character of this Suda would be the loneliness of the Suda. And as part of that loneliness, there shouldn't be any zimun. However, if we identify the Sudas Hamafsekas as a kiyum be'avelus, and it's really parallel to the Sudas Havra'a, so then the Rav's question does get off the ground, and then we need to come on to a different answer, and the Rav suggested that perhaps we could still distinguish between the two Sudos, and we could say that the Sudas Havra'a is a Suda that's consumed by Avelim. There are Gavra Avelim who have a certain Suda at the beginning of their Avelus. Whereas in contrast, the Suda Samafsekas takes on a character in and of itself. It has a certain chalos bifnei atzmo that's considered a sudas avelus. So the sudas havra is not a sudas avelus, it's a suda that's eaten by avelim. However, the sudas hamafsekes is considered a sudas avelus, and a sudas avelus is one that is mufka from the category of zimun. So this question of zimun tries to highlight the differences between the different approaches to why we sit on the ground during the sudas hamafsekes, and what exactly the nature of the sudas hamafsekes is, whether it's a kiyum and avelus, or whether it's a suda of anios or shiflos, or a suda of aninos, the two possibilities of the Trumas Hadashim. whether the Sudas HaMafsekes is a din in Avelos or it's a din in Aninus actually carries with it many ramifications. There is a machlokas later on in the same Mishnah in Tainis Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether there's an obligation of Kviyas Hamita. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is an obligation of Kviyas Hamita, and the Chachamim say that there is no obligation of Kviyas Hamita. The only thing that's not clear in the Mishnah is whether the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim pertains to Erev Tisha B'Av or it pertains to Tisha B'Av itself. And this is a point that the Brisker Rav makes in his in Hilchos Ta'anios. So the Brisker Rav wants to make the argument that really this machlokas pertains to Erev Tisha B'Av. And the reason why he makes that argument is because the Yerushalmi in Tainus in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav says that what's the reasoning for the Chachamim that there's no din of Kviyas Hamita? It's because the Chachamim the Chachamim say there's no Kviyas Hamita because of the din of Aninus. Kviyas Hamita does not apply during Aninus, it only applies during Avelus. And the Chachamim say that since at this time one is considered to be in a state of Aninus, therefore there is no requirement of Kviyas Hamita. So says the Brisker Rav, if the Chachamim are saying that one is considered at this time to be in Aninus and therefore there's no Kviyas Hamita, it must be that the Chachamim are referring to Erev Tisha B'Av, because after all, on Tisha B'Av we have a din of Avelus. Only on Erev Tisha B'Av do we have the din of Aninus. Since only on Erev Tisha B'Av do we have the din of Aninus, when the Chachamim say that there's no Kviyas Hamita because one is currently experiencing the stage of Aninus, it must be that the Chachamim refer to Erev Tisha B'Av. So if that's the case, what would be the Svara for Rabbi Yehuda that Kviyas Hamita does apply from the Sudas HaMafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av? Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the dinim, that at least some dinim of Avelus start to kick in even from the Sudas HaMafsekes. And that's the way that the Ramban explains that there are dinim of Avelus that apply even from the Sudas HaMafsekes, because at the Sudas HaMafsekes one accepts upon himself the Avelus of Tisha B'Av. So this would be another ramification as to whether the Sudas HaMafsekes is a din in Aninus or a din in Avelus. The Brisker Rav then connects this to another machlokas, a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. And the machlokas there is whether it's prohibited to bathe, to do rechitza, and to anoint oneself to do sicha after the Sudas HaMafsekes. The Chachamim are stringent in this machlokas, and they say that it is aser to do rechitza v'sicha after the Sudas HaMafsekes, whereas Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi is lenient on this question and says that even though one has eaten one Sudas HaMafsekes, one is still permitted to do rechitza v'sicha up until the time that Tisha B'Av arrives. The Ramban says that we should rule like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, like the Rabbim, and he wonders why the Rif omits the prohibition of rechitza v'sicha. After all, the Chachamim say that rechitza v'sicha should be prohibited from the time of the Sudas HaMafsekes, and we should rule like the Chachamim. So how do we justify, how do we explain the position of the Rif? So the Brisker Rav had a brilliant explanation, and he said that this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, whether rechitza v'sicha is prohibited from the time of the Sudas HaMafsekes and onward or not, is really the same machlokas as the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether there's an obligation of Kviyas Hamita. It all revolves around the same point. If the dinim of Avelus are triggered from the Sudas HaMafsekes, because at the Sudas HaMafsekes it says if one is mekabel upon himself the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, so then the din of Kviyas Hamita should apply, like the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and also the dinim of Rechitza V'Sicha, the prohibitions of Rechitza V'Sicha, like the position of the Chachamim, should also apply. However, if the Sudas HaMafsekes is really a din in Aninus, and the Avelus of Tisha B'Av does not begin until Tisha B'Av itself, so then there should not be Kviyas Hamita, and there shouldn't be Rechitza V'Sicha either. So says the Brisker Rav, that since we paskin like the Chachamim on the question of Kviyas Hamita, and we do not require Kviyas Hamita from the time of the Sudas HaMafsekes, that proves that we should paskin like Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi against the Chachamim on the question of Rechitza V'Sicha. And so too, we should say that there is no prohibition of Rechitza V'Sicha until Tisha B'Av actually arrives. One more ramification of whether the Suda Samafsekas is a din in Avelos, as such that there would be dinim of Avelos that apply afterwards, or it's a din in Aninus, is whether the requirement of Yeshiva al Gabi Karka continues after the Suda Samafsekas. The Magen Avraham in Simen Tav Kuf Nun Beis Sifcha says that while there's a requirement of Yeshiva al Gabi Karka to sit on the floor during the Suda Samafsekas, that requirement does not apply after the Suda Samafsekas, because the Avelos of Tisha B'Av has yet to kick in. However, if we assume that the Avelos of Tisha B'Av that the dinim of Avelos, that one is mekabel the dinim of Avelos at the Suda Samafsekas, such that there would be an Isser Vechitza V'Sicha, and there would be an obligation of Kviyas Amita, so then one could make the argument as well that the Yeshiva Al Gabi Karka of Tisha B'Av should also kick in at the time of the Suda Samafsekas and persist onwards. So those are a number of ramifications as to whether the Suda Samafsekas is considered as a kiyum in Avelus, or it's really considered a kiyum in Aninus. So that would be one manifestation of the concept of Aninus, particularly on Erev Tisha B'Av. But whereas the Brisker Rav assumed that the concept of Aninus is totally limited to Erev Tisha B'Av, and that on Tisha B'Av itself we have only the concept of Avelus, we have other evidence that the concept of Aninus actually trickles into Tisha B'Av itself. Masachas Sofrim in Perek Yud Ches Halacha Zayin says, "V'korin u'maspidin ka'adam shemeso mutal lefanav," that we tear our clothes and give hespedim on Tisha B'Av as one who is meso mutal lefanav. And this is a clear indication that the status of Misha Mesu Muta Lefanov applies even on Tisha B'Av itself. Indeed, while the Brisker Rav thought that the Chachamim said that there's no Kviyas Hamita because of Aninus, and therefore the Brisker Rav said that the Chachamim saying that there's no Kviyas Hamita is really applicable to Erev Tisha B'Av, the Korban Ha'ida commenting on that same Yerushalmi says that no, the Chachamim were actually talking about Tisha B'Av itself. The Chachamim were trying to say that there's no Kviyas Hamita on Tisha B'Av itself. Why would there not be Kviyas Hamita on Tisha B'Av itself? Say the Chachamim, because and according to the interpretation of the Korban Ha'ida, that the Chachamim made the Avelus of Tisha B'Av akin to Aninus, akin to Misha Meso Muta Lefanov. And since they made the Avelos of Tisha B'Av akin to Misha Meso Muta Lefanov, therefore there's no din of Kviyas Hamita, just as Kviyas Hamita does not apply during the stage of Aninus. Finally, there's another indication of Aninus applying during Tisha B'Av itself, and that's specifically between the two halves of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av prior to Chatzos and Tisha B'Av following Chatzos. The Ritva in the Truvos in Simon Samich Gimel explains that even though, according to his position, really we should say Nachim during all Tfilos, during Mariv, Shachris, and Mincha, even though our contemporary practice is only to say Nachim at Mincha, the Ritva said that because it's part of the Yom, it should really be said at all Tfilos. However, the text of Nachim should be different based on the Tfila. And the Ritva said that during Mariv and Shachris, we should say the word Rachim. We should say the word Rachim, that Hashem should have mercy, whereas during Mincha, we say Nachim Hashem Elokeinu Aseh Avei Tzion, that Hashem should comfort Avei Tzion. And the reason for that is because during Arvis V'Shachris, at night and in the morning, we are experiencing the stage of Misha Meso Muta Lefanov. And when we have Misha Meso Muta Lefanov, it's not appropriate to ask for Nachama, because that stage is not a stage where we ask for comfort. That's a stage where the mace has yet to be buried. However, during Mincha time, that is a stage where that's akin to already Nikbar Meso, where one's family member, one's relative has been buried. And after that, when Avelus has already kicked in, so that's a stage when we can ask for Tanchumin, when we can have Nichume Avelim, and that's why we switch the Nusach from Rachim to have mercy to Nachim to have comfort at Mincha time. So what you see from this Ritva is that the Ritva compares Arvis Vishachris, the nighttime and the morning time of Tisha B'Av, to the stage of Aninus, whereas after Chatzos is compared to the stage of Avelus. And the Rav, also in the Shiurei HaRav, took this further, and he said that this explains some of the other differences between prior to Chatzos and post Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. There's a Tosfos in Tainis on Daf Lamed that says that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday, like we have this year, then one would be able to do laundry after Chatzos. Even though we don't paskin that way in Shulchan Aruch, so we do paskin other differences between pre-Chatzos and post-Chatzos. For example, the Ramah says that the minhag not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av applies prior to Chatzos, but not after Chatzos. What are all of these dinim about? Explain the Rav that these dinim all concern the requirement of the prohibition of hesachadas. And the Rav said that during the time period of Aninus that applies during the nighttime and during the morning time, there is an intensified prohibition of Hesach Hadas. And that's why we have all of these dinim that ensure that we are focusing ourselves solely on the Churban HaBayis and on the Aninus that accompanies that Churban. However, after Chatzos hits, and we transition into the second half of the day. So even though there's still not supposed to be a Hesach Hadas, the intensification of that Hesach, of that prohibition lessens, and therefore some of the minhagim that we have to ensure not to have any Hesach Hadas fall by the wayside. And this is all connected back to this Tshuva Saritva that says that the distinguishing factor between the morning and the afternoon of Tisha B'Av is that the morning is considered like Aninus, which has that intensified prohibition of Hesach Hadas, whereas the afternoon is considered like Avelus, which has a less intensified prohibition of Hesach Hadas. So what we saw was a number of ramifications of the status of the stage of Aninus on Tisha B'Av in addition to Avelus. We had the Aninus of the Suda Samafsekes, and even on Tisha B'Av itself, we had evidence of Aninus, including the Kriya, the Hesped of Maseches Sofrim, the Kfiyas Hamita, according to the Korban Aida, in his commentary on the Yerushalmi, and the Ritva's distinction between pre-Chatzos and post-Chatzos. And the question is, why is it so important that in addition to the Avelus, we also have Aninus during Tisha B'Av? So I want to quote one comment of the Maharsha. The Maharsha in Tainis Daf Lamed Amid Beis on that story of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, when Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi had his Suda Samafsekes, and he was comparable to Misha Meso Muta Lefanov. The Maharsha explains that by experiencing the stage of Misha Meso Muta Lefanov, that transforms what would be an Avelus Yeshana, as the Gemara Nivamu says, an old Avelus, an Avelus of a mourning for something that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, and it makes it considered like an Avelus Chadasha. By connecting to the stage of Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, by feeling as if the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed right before our very eyes, just like the Gra explains, based on the Medrash, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed set ablaze in the second half of the day, and that's actually why there are distinctions between the first half of the day and the second half of the day. So probably if we connect the two points, so in the morning when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing but it was captured, when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, that's Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, but when it was set afire, when it was set ablaze during the second half of the day, that's when it's already considered, that's when it's considered nikbar. That's when it's considered no longer before us. It's no longer mutal lifaninu. And by experiencing the stage of Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore, but it's still standing, it's before our eyes, but it's not in our possession, that transforms the Avelos Yeshana, and it makes it like an Avelos Chadasha. That allows us to reconnect to the Avelos of Tisha B'Av as if it's happening right now, as if it's something that just hit us, that that has a very striking type of an effect on us. And therefore, by adding the Aninus stage to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, we inject a certain newness to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av and are able to connect more deeply to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av and take what happened thousands and thousands of years ago and make it as if it's happening right here, right now, and be able to connect to that Avelus in the deepest way possible.